down. And so holidays like Thanksgiving, Christmas season, all forward that to us sometimes. And days like today, hopefully in our church's life, where we just pause and we thank the Lord. We thank the Lord for being able to hand out gospel tracts a few Friday nights ago to over 1,500 people. 16 first-time guests, or 22 guests, 16 first-time guests a couple of weeks ago. Hopefully in these moments, we can just pause and thank the Lord. And the truth of the matter is sometimes the singing of God's praises will minister to a heart in a particular way. Most of us have a song, a ballad, a hymn, a special song, maybe something we just found on the radio and it providentially just was exactly what we needed at exactly the right time. And that's kind of been our prayer this morning. And it is our great joy to welcome to our church Tommy Spencer and his sweet wife and his manager, Tim Clevenger. And so we know Tim, love him. And Tim's like, you ought to have Brother Tommy. Why haven't you had Brother Tommy? Brother, you got to have him. I'm going to go ahead and book Tommy. And so you have no better friend than Tim. I'm exaggerating tremendously all of those things. But we are delighted. We'll introduce Pastor Thomas in a little while to you. But we're thankful. So ask the Lord to speak to your heart. Again, this is not performance. This is praise. This is something. If God inhabits the praise of his people, then I think we join in, we participate, we respond, and we ask the Lord to use and speak to our hearts, and we're just delighted. And so we welcome Brother Spencer here, Tommy Spencer, and comes to our stage. Make him feel welcome as he comes, Brother Tommy. Come and sing and lead us in worship this morning.
Good to be with y'all this morning.
Amen.
Thank you for the beautiful welcome that we received by everyone, Pastor's wife, and everyone else. Really appreciate that. And this is not a performance.
Right.
This is a praise and
yes.
worship time. And I might sing some songs that you know. I might sing some songs you don't know.
Sure.
But let's all just praise the Lord.
There you go.
I will meet you in the morning by the bright river's side, when all sorrows has drifted away. I'll be standing at the portal when the gates open wide, at the close of life's long weary days. I'll meet in the morning with a how do you do, and we'll sit down by the river and with rapture old acquaintance renew. You'll know me in the morning by the smile that I wear, and I'll meet you in the morning in that city that is built for square. I will meet you in the morning at the end of the way, on the streets of that city of gold. I like this part right here. Where we all can be together and be happy for a while the years and the ages shall roll. I'll meet you in the morning with the how do you do, and we'll sit down by the river, and with rapture old acquaintance renew. You'll know me in the morning by the smile that I wear, and I'll meet you in the morning in that city that is built for square. I'll meet you in the morning with the how do you do, and we'll sit down by the river and with rapture old acquaintance renew. You'll know me in the morning by the smile that I wear, and I'll meet you in the morning in that city that is built for square.
Brother Rodney, of course, I follow Brother Rodney on Facebook and listen to his sermons. He's a mighty fine preacher, I'll tell you. Enjoy his sermons. And he said, well, not, a lot of people may not know you. And I said, that don't matter to me. I don't want to be known. I don't want to be some big gospel artist, you know. A lot of people know me. I'm on television. We do a show called the Most Singing Convention. We've been on Knoxville Television for 68 years.
Yeah.
It's the number one show on Sunday, and it's also the longest running locally produced program in America. So it's pretty old.
Yeah.
And of course, I'm not that old, of course. Tim is that old, but I'm not that old. But I love gospel music. I love old. Y'all like old gospel music?
Sure. Sure.
Most old people do. He said yes first. So, but I love old gospel music. And I was talking to a couple back here that I sung at their event probably 15 years ago, I guess, or longer. And it's good to see y'all so much. And this young man right here, what a help. What a help. He went in and toured my vehicle, and after that, he was mine. He just done everything for me wanted that if you could, and I appreciate that so much. What a great guy. Now, I like story songs. Y'all like stories? I love a song that tells a story. I don't like a song that's there just for entertainment. This song tells a story. I want you to listen to the words of the song. A penny for your thoughts, I said to the old man, as he sat there on a park bench all alone, with silver hair and wrinkled brow, eyes gleaming. He smiled and said, just thinking about my home. We sat there and we shared some laughs together, and the cinema of remembrance, it did roll. We talked about life's gains, and yes, its losses, but mostly we just talked about his home. He said, I'm thinking about home, thinking about going home, dreaming about leaving here
ready to be moving on. It won't be long until the sun will set and I'll be gone. But until then, I'll be thinking about home. I said, tell me, old man, where's your home and what's it like? He said, oh, ain't nothing around here that compares. You see, a king had it built and gave the keys to me. And all my family's already there. He said, I'm thinking about home, thinking about going home, dreaming about leaving here, ready to be moving on. It won't be long until the sun will set and I'll be gone, but until then, I'll be thinking about home. It won't be long until the sun will set and I'll be gone. I'll be thinking about home. I'll be thinking about home. Thinking about home.
Let me tell you about my mama real quick. My mama was a Pentecostal Church of God, beehive hairdo to the ceiling, dressed to the floor kind of Christian. Mama was a shouter. You know, I don't know if y'all do that here or not, but Mama was, and she was raised in the old-fashioned church, you know, back in the day, and she loved Southern Gospel, and she loved the Mole Saint Adventure. She watched it every Sunday. We watched it every Sunday, and I never dreamed I would grow up one day to actually host a show, but that was the thing we did on Sunday mornings, got up and watched the Mole Saint Adventure. This was her favorite song. I love singing this song, and a lot of you will probably know it. Mama's gone on to be with the Lord now, but I'm sure she has a mansion. And I want to be right next door.
I'm satisfied with just a cottage below. A little silver and a little gold, but in that city where the ransom will shine, I've got a gold one that's silver. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday
promise we was made when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior.
Don't think me poor or deserted or lonely. I'm not discouraged. I'm heaven bound. I'm just a pilgrim in search of a city. I've got a mansion, a harp and a crown. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop in that bright land where we'll never grow.
Rodney, if it's all right, I'm going to take your wife with me and put her on the bus. She knows every word to every song I sing. Good. Well, I'll bring her back. She knows every song I sing, which is awesome. That's pretty awesome. You know, I get to travel around a lot and sing gospel music, and I'm involved with the National Quartet Convention, which is in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. We welcome over 30,000 people every year to the Quartet Convention, gospel music lovers from all over the United States and all over the different countries, and get to see a lot of folks, and I have a lot of friends who are Southern gospel music artists, and I pick their brain a little bit, and I don't never ever do a song unless it blesses me. It's got to bless me. If it doesn't bless me, I don't sing it, because I'm old and I'm cantankerous and I'm just set that way. Kind of like your preacher is. Y'all remember the Happy Goodman family? Oh, man. I met Vestal one time. What a sweet lady. I love to hear her sing this song. A country where no twilight shadows deepen, unending days where night will never come. A city where no storm clouds ever gather, for this is just what heaven means to me. What will it be when we get over yonder and join the throng around the glassy sea? I look forward to this right here. To meet our loved ones and crown Christ forever. For this is just what heaven means to me. I'm glad I'm going to be there. That's a promise. And when at last we see the face of Jesus, before whose image other loves all flee, and when they crown him Lord of lords, I'm gonna be there, for this is just what heaven means to me. What will it be when we get over yonder and join the throng around the glassy sea? To meet our loved ones and crown Christ forever. For this is just what heaven means to me. Yes, this is just what heaven means to me. heard a song from friends of mine that I love it when people, you know why old songs are old songs? They're old songs because they're good songs. They're lasting songs. You know, people sometimes write songs, sometimes they sing them for a year or so and then forget about them. Some of these songs have lasted for generations. And that's the songs that I want. I have a friend named Gerald Wolf, Greater Vision, and he keeps the old songs alive. And that's just very cool to me, you know. But I want to do this song for you. I heard them sing this song. I don't know if I can find it. I never have a set list. I just do what God leads me to do. Y'all talk amongst yourself, but I'll be right with you. This is one of them old songs. Sorry. This is one of them old songs that's been taken and done a little bit different. But boy, does it ever have the same meaning. And it does, it preaches to me. Sing along with me, sister. Somewhere beyond the grave, there is a land that Jesus has went to prepare by his own hands. And though we're saved by grace, there is a resting place. And in a few more days, it will be mine. Some call it heaven, but I call it home. Some call it just let me dream on. Some call it paradise, somewhere beyond the skies. Some call it heaven, Brother Sonny, I just call it home. They say that you can't go back home again, and things will never be the same or as good as they've been. But I've got good news for you. Oh, when heaven comes into view, one look and you'll know the best is yet to come. Some call it heaven, but I call it home. Some call it dreaming, just let me dream on and on. Some call it paradise, somewhere beyond the skies. Some call it heaven, I call it home. Some call it paradise, somewhere beyond the skies. I want to do one more song for you. And then I'm going to sing right before Brother Sutton comes and preaches. And brings us the, I'm sure it's going to be an awesome message today. Let me follow you too. I know a little bit about you. Some of it ain't good. No. I love having fun. I do. I think Christians should be the funnest people on earth. I really do. Me and Tim here, we take it a little further sometimes when it ain't good. But I love having fun. I love laughing. I love having fun and rejoicing. We should be the happiest people on this earth. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ,
right,
your person saved, we should be the happiest people ever. I am. This song here, I went into the studio and cut a CD several years ago, and it's all old hymns, which is a very cool CD. I hope everyone will leave with one, please. The diesel is very expensive. But I cut all old songs except for this one song. I heard this song. It was brought to me by God, and I said, I love this song. We went in the studio and cut this song on a track, and we did the song in one take.
Wow.
If you never recorded before, that's a miracle. You don't record in one take. We recorded this song in one take because the Spirit of God came down to that studio that day and just blessed us beyond measure. And went to the producer afterward, and I said, I guess you want to cut that again. He said, not on your life. He said, it's going just like that. So, I hope you enjoyed it. It's my number one song. People enjoy it all over the place. Most requested song I do. Lately I've been looking back along this winding road to the old familiar markers of the mercies I have known. I know it may sound simple, but it's more than a cliche. There's no better way to tell you than to say God's been good. My life, I feel so blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep at night. Though I've had my share of hard times, He's been there by my side through it all. God's been good. Time replays, and I can see that I've cried some bitter tears. But I've had His loving arms around me as I face my greatest fears. You see, I've had more gains than losses. I've had more joy than hurt. And as His grace rolls down upon me, so undeserved, God's been good in my life. I feel so blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep at night. Though I've had my share of hard times, and I have, He's been there by my side through it all. God's been good. For God has been my Father, my Savior, and my friend. He was there in my beginning, and He'll be there in the end. I could spend my whole life trying to tell you everything He is, but the best way I can tell you is this. God's been good. My life. I feel so blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep at night. And though I've had my share of hard times, He's been there by my side through it all. You know He's been so good. Thank you so much.
Well, if God's working in your heart this morning, would you join me in saying amen? Again, we are delighted. I didn't ask him. I feel like we need to draft him and let him sing with us in the congregational song. I've thoroughly enjoyed that, and we are going to continue. You have heard, and now you get to express. Stand with us for a moment as you would. We're going to sing hopefully some songs that you know. Sing out good and loud as we worship. Continue worshiping the Lord. Go ahead and stand with us. Music begins to play.
We're so glad you're here this morning. What a blessing. We could leave right now. Of course, we won't because we want Sonny to preach, but
yeah.
It's so good to have you here this morning. Please sing along with us.
Oh, to see the dawn of the darkest day, Christ on the road to Calvary, tried by sinful men, torn and beaten, then nailed to a cross of wood. To see my name. crushed again. Life is mine to live, won through your selfless love. This the power of the cross, Son of God, slain for us. What a love, what a cost we stand forgiven at the cross.
We have that ability to be forgiven.
That's right.
For all the things we've done. And the reason that is because of the old rugged cross.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, the old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will plead change it someday for a crown. In that old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the someday for a crown. To that old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange inside. someday for a crown.
Amen. You can be seated. Those who don't know me, I hate being up here. I'm just going to tell you, but they keep asking me, so I keep coming. I don't know what's going on, but it's been fantastic this morning. The joy of the Lord ought to be our strength. Amen. It ought to show. We ought to not be grumpy. We ought to be happy. We ought to be happy people. I'm just saying, there's so much going through my mind right now, and this is where we get in trouble, Pastor. When I get up here and I start going off topic here, but. And when we stop singing about the blood and we stop preaching about the blood, it'll be the day that I leave. Let us never be numb to the fact of what Christ did for us.
Sure.
Yeah. So there we go. That's my preaching for the day. And we're going to get to hear from, we got TS in the house, we got ST in the house, and I get confused on the S's and the T's. So we got the preacher coming up, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We're going to hear the preach word today. For those of you who don't know, we like to pray for a local church. We're not in competition with them. We're pulling in the same direction if they're preaching the blood. Powell Schools and missionaries. So we'll just go to the Lord in prayer right now. Father, we just thank you. We thank you for what we've heard this morning. We were able to worship and praise. Lord, let us worship in our prayer. God, let us hear you and worship by the word here. Father, we just pray for the local school, the local church, and our missionaries. And let us remember right now one of our special missionaries, Eddie Simmons, who's a missionary in Kenya to the Samburu people. He's in what they would call in English spot of bother right now, but we know you're with him. You're by his side. Lord, you just touch him, touch Amanda, minister grace unto him, and whatever you will have for him, Lord, we give you the praise and the honor. Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please stand with us as we sing one more time.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
God's people said, amen. Amen. Please remain standing. Guys, you put the scripture on. Let's work on our scripture this morning. And we do this because they publicly read the scripture, the Old Testament and the New Testament. We do this because we want to emphasize. We want to get in the Word and get the Word in us. We do this because repetition is the key. I asked you to stop trying to memorize it. Just every time you eat, read it a time or two. And when we memorize God's Word, it unlocks all kinds of things and blessing in our life. So say it with me while you remain standing here. We'll read it together. For as much as you know that you are not redeemed by corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, your empty, worthless lifestyle, you are not redeemed. You couldn't buy it, and there's nothing that is created that you could earn or you could work for that would do that. Things that can be twisted, but Christ cannot be twisted. Perfect, sinless, holy. Verse 19. But you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And you can be seated. And we are just so very thankful. Thankful for, again, days like today's to punctuate things. It's important. Anniversary is important in your life, my life, anniversary. Birthdays are important, or memorial days. We remembered a Veterans Day. That I think these kind of things. Truth of the matter is, you look through the scriptures, and they would take time and occasion. They would stop work. They would rejoice. They would feast. Sometimes they put on sackcloth. They would mourn. They would do those things. And I think we need the help of the calendar to remember what's important. We just don't go through life as a blur, and we do those things. And so I love occasions and times. In times like today. And so we're very thankful to all our guests that are here this morning. And we're just delighted. If you're here for the first time, or maybe first time in a while, somewhere close to you is a connection card. We'd love for you to take a moment. If you would, you can fill that out and drop it. There's a little black box at the back. It's marked offering or giving. I don't know what we call it anymore, but anyway. It's back there. And you can put that in there. You can hand it to me. I'll trade you out for a nice gift. And we'd love to do that for you. Maybe you received one as you came in and were greeted. And so we're very, very thankful. We also like to remind everyone, we did have just a beautiful dinner on the grounds a couple weeks ago for our Be Our Guest Sunday. And so with that in mind, we're Forrest and Ashley Haley and organized and got some others to help. And we've got a little bit of some sweet treats in the back. And so after this is done, we want to encourage you to step to the back. Just take some time and fellowship. I know it's not a whole meal, and I know you're eating your dessert first, but it'll be okay just this one time. Just pretend you're a kid and nobody's looking, and grab you a piece of that. And so somebody said, you have any diabetic cake? We do. It's called coffee, and so you can. You can drink some coffee with me, and so we're delighted for that. We want to just pause. I've got a few other things, but I do want to pause. I don't have any more information. Brother Blair mentioned it, and by the way, Brother Blair does such a good job. He continues to do two things. He continues to protest that he does a good job, then he threatens to leave. I don't know what's going on. So we're going to put nails in his shoes and anchor him down. But anyhow. You say, why do you have one? It's good training for all of us to be on stage. Good training to lead and do those things. and it's not good. It's not good, and I just refuse to do it. I said it 3 or 4 years whenever we started doing this. Man, I'm just not in favor of the Rodney Show. I don't care. I mean, it's our church. It's the Lord's church, and we get to worship. And there's things that I need to do, and there's things that anybody can do. And so we want to do that. And so we're thankful. Just serious medical situation. I think probably the simplest way to say, Amanda reached out early our time this morning, and they just a mess is what it is. And so as we find out more, we'll let you know. But would you do that? It's Eddie and Amanda Simmons. They've been here a few times. We continue to pray for them. It's hours and hours by Jeep over no road, not over bad roads, over no road. And then if they can get a flight out with Mission Aviation Fellowship, then they can fly out. But even still, that's weather dependent, permitting, and all kinds of things. So he was en route to a hospital again, their time. But let's just pause. Let's pause and pray. Eddie Simmons, Amanda Simmons, even if you don't know them, would you ask God to touch? And again, I don't have any more information than that. Would you bow and let's just pray together for a minute? Father, the request that's been on our hearts from this morning, Lord, thank you that you nudged me to open my phone and to look. It's not my custom on Sunday morning, and saw the urgent request. Lord, there's no family, there's no close relative there with Amanda. I pray you'd wrap your arms around her. I pray, Lord, the hundreds, if not thousands, of people who in these moments have been praying, I pray that she would sense and gather strength from your Spirit in this way. I pray for the doctors, Lord. I pray that he would be receiving the best care. I pray they'd know they're taking care of one of your children. I pray there would be diligence and efficiency. I pray there would be expediency. I pray that there would be a sense of excellence. I pray this would be a blip on the radar, and that, Lord, in time to come, it would be a great story, Lord. But the only one who knows how this is going to work out is you. So I ask you to do your perfect will. I ask you to touch Eddie's heart and his life. I pray that you touch his body. And Lord, it's our privilege to partner. And God, that means more than sending a check every month. So we pause and we pray and we ask. We couldn't get there for a day and a half if we left now. So be with him. Be with our friend. Be with our brother. And I pray particularly, you would work in their life. We trust you. And God, these moments, we always feel this way. We know we need you all the time. We seem particularly dependent this morning. So God help, I pray, and assist. And we thank you in advance. And we pray it in your Son's wonderful name. And amen. 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 We have opportunity. We'll try and update you throughout the day, and tomorrow we'll try and put that website and social media, make it easy for you to access. We won't try and bury you with a bunch of text messages unless something becomes very critical. And so we want to do that. So thank you for that. And again, for some, it's entirely appropriate to pause and to pray for one of our missionaries. I mean, it just is. And so thank you for being willing to do that and for helping with that. And Brother Spencer, I have to make an addition to your earlier story. Is that allowed? Tim told me I could. And so he was bragging on Dr. Glaspie up here at the front and how he helped him. But that's not the story Brother Glaspie told me as he came in. Brother Glaspie said said, that man came early. I said, what man? He said, he came early. I was halfway through my donut when he showed up. He said, nobody comes in between me and my donut. And so I just want you to know you might be missing a donut in your RV. And so he may have absconded with an extra one for penalty. Of course, I might be exaggerating or making the whole thing up. Anyway, Brother Glaspie will be leaving now. But anyway, having a little fun there. So thankful. Trying to look and make sure because I'm doing things out of order for me. And we are thankful. Hope you can stay even just a few minutes, fellowship, rejoice. And again, to all of you that are honored guests, all of you that you like to be here on these days and God's led you other places, we're just so thankful. Good to see Ron Condrome and sure enjoyed his sermon at the funeral the other day. So many things. And I couldn't help it. He sang about heaven this morning. All I thought was, Pastor Fender not thinking about it. Pastor Fender's experiencing it. And he's better than he's ever been. And we continue to pray for he and his joy. So thank you. Just a couple of things, and we'll continue on the service. Thank you again, those of you who prayed. 170 plus. I didn't ask for the count, but thank you. Friday night and Saturday, about 13, 14 churches. In the Cookeville area, we just a real outpouring of God's Spirit. Last night was one of those kind of services where there was 30 or 40 people left in the city in their seats, and then everybody else was kind of around an altar and talking to the Lord and getting things right with the Lord. And it was just a tremendous time to see, whatever that would be, 140, 150 of those being students. I mean, that'll do your heart some good to see them that receptive to the Scripture and the preaching. So thank you for praying, and thank you so much for that. And again, we're so thankful. We're thankful for Brother Spencer taking time out to be here with us today, and his sweet wife, and of course we know and love Brother Tim. And in just a moment, he's going to come back and sing. Before he does, let me introduce our speaker. Glad to have Brother Sonny, Miss Julie here, and we put both your pictures on there. So Julie, you can quit asking me, and so I'm messing, but we're delighted. There's an academic introduction. You go somewhere, this is what happens, and then there's another. And I've got both of these up here. Let me give you the one I like. I appreciate Brother Sonny. Long as I've known about him, he's been very interested in the Scripture, very interested in preaching the Word, studying the Word, communicating the Word. He does his best to be an encouragement to people, and I like that. I like that. Some people you hang around with, you feel like, man, that's a pretty neat guy, and you have a bigger impression of them. I like when I'm around Brother Sonny. He just makes me feel better, period. And so I like it. He has a gift of encouragement. I like the fact that he loves his family. He's encouraging them to live for the Lord. Of course, their grandparents, and I like the fact that when we're hanging out together, he is loving and kind to his wife. And he's been the pastor of the Peace Church in Morristown for several years, and God is using him. He serves on a number of other places and one of the state boards. I've enjoyed our time together and look forward to more time in the future. When I began to pray, who would God have for us? I said, well, if Sonny's free, I sure want him to come and preach for us. So after brother comes, and brother Spencer comes and sings for us, we're going to welcome Brother Sonny to come and preach for us this morning. So go ahead and open up your Bibles, get your apps open there. If you need to, you can download it, hardenvalleychurch.com/app. Follow along, but more than that, ask God to speak to your heart. Let's make our brother feel welcome one more time. Brother Tommy, you come and sing for us again this morning. Give him a hand again as he comes.
Thank you.
upon me as I struggle alone. They say I have nothing, but they are so wrong. In my heart I'm rejoicing, how I wish they could see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. There's a roof up above me. I have a good place to sleep. There's food on my table and shoes on my feet. You gave me your love, Lord, and a fine family. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. You want to clap. Amen. That's good. Thank you so much, Brother Spencer, Sonny Thomas, being pastor of the Peace Church, Morristown, and he is our preacher this morning. Make him feel welcome. And middle school folks, you can head out there, and junior age folks, put your hands together one last time there. Thank you, Brother Sonny, for coming. You preach God's word to us.
Well, good morning to you. It's good to see you today. I want you to take your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Ephesians. Would you do that? Ephesians chapter 2. And I want to wish you a happy anniversary. And I don't know how many years it is, Brother Rodney, but I can tell you the last time I was here was, it was either 1999 or 2000. And that was hosting a union association meeting. And I drove in came to the association meeting when Brother Gerald was still here, and I appreciate him, and I appreciate what he accomplished in the Lord, amen, and excited about what God, you know, the Bible teaches us that our works continue on even after we're not here anymore, and this is what you see, is you see the work of God continuing on through the man of God as he planted this church and in obedience to the Lord, and so I'm thankful for that, and Brother Gerald was... He was on the ordaining council, I believe it was, when I came up and was ordained through the union. And I remember he gave us our charge the night I was ordained over at Oak Grove Free Will Baptist down there in the Greenville, Tusculum area. And before Brother Gerald got up and gave the charge, I had to listen to Brother Jackie Cole give the message. Amen. And but if you ever hear Brother Jackie preach, you don't so much hear Brother Jackie as you see Brother Jackie, and I've just thanked the Lord for men of God that have served and served well, and they are reaping their reward now, but we're not done. We're not done, and I thank the Lord that we're not done. When God calls me home, I'll be done. Until that day, I'm going to occupy till He comes, and I'm going to continue to serve the Lord. So look with me, if you would, in Ephesians chapter 2. Last time I was in this area, actually, I drove by here a few months ago, but the last time we spent any time at all, and I don't know if y'all are familiar with this. I'm not all that familiar, but we were living in North Carolina, pastoring over there, and we wanted to get away, so we had to come to Pigeon Forge for a couple of days, you know, to kind of catch our breath, get away. But it was around Christmas time, and so we noticed this advertisement in the, I don't know if it's in the mail, social media, I can't even remember where I saw it, but it was called Christmas in the Cave. Has anybody been to Christmas in the Cave? It was down here, was it Cherokee Caverns? Is that the name of it? And we went to that Christmas in the Cave, and they had food trucks, and they had craft shops and stuff. And then we went down into the cave, and they had a setup down there, had National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation set up in there. They had a gospel quartet singing when you went a little further down in the cave. They had all that plugged up. Then they had a movie theater that was set up down in the, I mean, the stalactites and everything, it was hanging. And they still had the movie theater set up showing the Grinch, how the Grinch stole Christmas. And then you went and some guy was dressed up in a Grinch outfit, and you got to meet him and take a picture with him. Then they had folks selling blown glass. Ware that was handcrafted, was beautiful, and it was tremendous. And so that was probably one of the most redneck things that I'd ever seen. And we went down and we enjoyed Christmas in the Cave. And we plan on going back this year. When you live here, it's not that far away now. So we plan on going back to Christmas in the Cave this year. But you can see what kind of entertainment we like anyway, right? Would you stand with us as we read from Ephesians chapter 2? I want to tell you what a joy it is to be with you guys this morning. And I appreciate Brother Rodney and his dear wife and all that they do for the Lord. I met Brother Rodney years ago when he was on staff there at Southeastern Free Will Baptist College, and have just always been so thankful for him and his wife and their family, their son, their daughter, and what God is doing. And got him over here to Tennessee, and I hope you dress him up in lots of orange and white. And get all that baby blue off of him, you know, and make him look pretty. But anyway, though, I'm so thankful. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 2. And you hath he quickened. We could stop right there and say, praise the Lord, and go home and be all right, couldn't it? Right? And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, I love the but God. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, for by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We'll stop reading right there. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity we've had to worship. Lord, thank you for the sweet songs of Zion that have been sung today. And thank you for Brother Tommy being with us, Lord. And thank you for Hardin Valley Free Will Baptist Church, God, for hosting this service today and inviting us to come and be a part of it. And Lord, I thank you for this church that shines the gospel throughout this community. Lord, I pray you'll continue to bless, continue to use them, Lord, and continue, Father, that they might be a city that is set on a hill, Lord, whose light cannot be hidden, God, I pray. And Father, I pray that you would use us for a few moments to preach your word. And Lord, I recognize that, God, I'm nothing without you. And Lord, you're the vine. We're just the branches, and there's nothing we can do apart from you. And Lord, in my flesh doesn't dwell one good thing, nothing, God, in my flesh. is worth value, Lord. It's just, it is unredeemed flesh. One day it's going back to the dust of the earth until the day that Jesus calls, Lord. And then it will raise again in the newness of life. But until that day, God, this flesh does not have anything, Lord, of regenerative quality. But Lord, I know the inner man is renewed day by day. Lord, we've been born again by your Spirit. And Lord, I pray that you would grant us a spiritual anointing right now, Lord, that we might preach in the power and the demonstration of Christ. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here this morning in this building or anyone that is watching through the live stream methods of this service going out, Lord, if they don't know the Savior, I pray today would be the day they would cry out to Jesus. And Lord, they would be born again, forgiven of their sins and cleansed from all unrighteousness. I pray if there's a Christian here today that's struggling in any way, God, I pray that you would draw them to the cross, restore them, Lord, the joy of their salvation. And we thank you for what you're going to do, and thank you for all that you've done. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. You know, in a little small cemetery over a little parish church in Olney, England, there's a granite tombstone that's over there. And the tombstone has this inscription to it. The tombstone says, John Newton, clerk, meaning pastor, but John Newton, clerk. And it says, once an infidel and libertine, a servant of slavers in Africa, was, by the rich mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, preserved, restored, pardoned, and appointed to preach the faith he had so long labored to destroy. Now, you may not remember John Newton's name, but all of us know the song that he wrote as a testimony of his life. You and I sing it all the time. It's called Amazing Grace. And listen, I believe that that could also be the grave marker, if we had one, of the Apostle Paul. Because by the time Jesus intercepted the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus, he was burning with a passion to persecute Christians. He would imprison them, and many he would have put to death. Paul was so depraved in his heart that by his own admission in the Scriptures, Paul thought he was doing God's work. Now, in Ephesians, Paul is writing, addressing the body of believers that he had established for nearly 3 years. And there were so many saved in the city of Ephesus that a riot ensued. If you remember, the silversmith had made these idols to Diana. And because Paul was leading so many people into a relationship with Jesus Christ, they weren't buying the idols anymore. Sales were going down, all right? It was kind of like Elon Musk and Twitter right now, okay? Sales were heading down, and the silversmiths got so bent out of shape about it that they caused a riot in the city, and Paul would have to leave Ephesus. Now, you fast forward, and you'll find that Paul is writing this letter while he's imprisoned in Rome. And he is sending this letter to Ephesus by the hand of his friend Tychicus, and also by the hand of somebody that you may be familiar with who happened to be a slave that was redeemed, and his name was Onesimus. And this correspondence, this letter that you and I read in the book of Ephesians, if you wanted to break it up into two parts, you could say chapters 1 through 3 is Paul writing specifically about doctrine and about the gospel, Jesus Christ, and what it is to be truly saved and born again, and what God has saved us from, and what Jesus has done for us. And then when you turn the page to chapter 4 and you read the last 3 chapters, you'll see that what it is that we're supposed to be like after Jesus has saved us. You'll see doctrine in the first 3 chapters, and you'll find application in the last three chapters. And so you'll find here that the correspondence begins by Paul reminding the Ephesians of the grace that has saved them, that unmerited favor that came only through the life and the death of Jesus Christ. And this morning, you and I, we have gathered together to declare this same grace today, that this same grace is offered to everyone. How many of you are thankful that God did not exclude you from His offer of grace? I know there are people that preach a doctrine that says God excludes certain people from the offer of grace. He never bothers to offer it, but I don't believe that's biblically accurate today. I believe that both Jew and Gentile alike can be made alive by the grace of God. And I believe that God still offers the same grace today and the possibility that all of us can be recipients of His grace. And no matter where it is that you're from today, no matter what it is that you have done in life, there is an unlimited supply of grace available to you today. Through God's grace, you can be forgiven of every sin. Aren't you thankful for that? But old friend, can I just tell you something today? Grace is so much more than that. Grace is so much more than just being forgiven of our sins. Grace is so much more than just assuring us a spot in heaven so we can miss hell. Grace is so much more than that. And this morning, for just a few moments, I want to preach in this message and share with you what God has given me. And I want to preach to you today on what grace has done for us. What grace has done for us. Now, I want to give you three little points, and I'll break these points down a little bit to show you today exactly what grace has done for us. But in your Bibles, you'll find, number one, that grace reminds us of the place where God found us. Every time that I remember, or every time someone reminds me that I have been saved, or we celebrate the fact that we have been saved by grace, it reminds me where God found me. The Bible says in verse number 1, "And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. In time past, I was walking according to the course of this world. I was walking according to the prince of the power of the air. I was walking according to the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." You know what that tells me is it tells me that God found me in a very undesirable place. Can I just remind all of you today that God found you in an undesirable place? When you come to celebrate Jesus Christ and you come to celebrate His grace, you need to be reminded of where God found you. Listen, I know sometimes we don't like to think of ourselves in certain ways, but can I just remind us of something? Without Jesus Christ, we're just plumb rotten to the core. Amen? We're just rotten to the core without Jesus. You say, "Preacher, I don't know. I don't like that idea. I'm a pretty good person." No, the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is no one who can say that he hath not sinned, because if he does, he's trying to make God out to be a liar. He has deceived himself. The truth is not in him. We are all sinners apart from the grace that God offers us. And that's why no one is any better than anyone else. It doesn't matter where you've come from. It doesn't matter if you lived on a mansion on a hilltop or you lived down in a shack down by the riverside. It does not matter. No one is better than anyone else, because the ground is level at the foot of the cross. We all stand in need of a Savior. And once we've been saved, we recognize that no one is better than anyone else, because you can't get any better than saved. Amen? And so if you're saved and I'm saved, we can't get any better than saved. How many of you are glad today that you didn't get saved halfway, but you are saved unto the uttermost? Listen, you know what this tells me? It reminds me of the place where God found us. Where did God find us at? Number one, God found us in a wretched state. In verse number 1, "You hath He quickened who were dead." That sounds pretty wretched, doesn't it? I mean, does that sound wretched to you? That sounds wretched to me. I've got a golden retriever at home we bought from a breeder years ago.
And he loves to chase squirrels. I mean, man, if there's a squirrel anywhere around the property, he's going to chase everywhere he can. He's going to run that thing up a tree. He's going to do all that he can to chase those squirrels. Well, a few weeks ago, there was a squirrel going across the road. We live in a subdivision. There's a squirrel going across the road, and a car struck that squirrel, and the squirrel did not survive. Well, that squirrel sat there for a while, and that squirrel sat there for a while, and that squirrel sat there for a while, until I finally decided none of the other neighbors were going to do anything about it. So I went out and I put me a glove on and I walked out there and I grabbed it by its bushy tail, what was left of it, and I picked that old ragged, half-rotten squirrel up, and I went and put it in a Walmart bag and tied the Walmart bag and went and threw it in my trash can. You know what I thought? That's a pretty wretched thing right there. When you got near that and you started smelling the odor from that and you started seeing the flies and everything around it, you know what I realized? I didn't really want to spend much time around something that was dead. Can I tell you that you and I, we don't like going to cemeteries. We don't like going to funeral homes. We don't like dead things, all right? Listen, the Bible tells you and I that we, when grace found us in a wretched state because we were dead in trespasses and sins. Can I tell you something today? Because we've been made alive, we provide a different odor now. We provide a different incense for God. But there was a time when our lives were not pleasant to God. The odor of our lives was not pleasant to God. Just as the odor of that squirrel was not pleasant to me, without grace, the odor of your life and my life is not pleasant to God. And grace reminds me of where he found me, because he found me in a wretched state. The Bible says in Ephesians 4 and 18, we were alienated from the life of God. Alienated from the life of God. There is no life-giving substance that we were connected to. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5 and 14, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. All of us are dead in trespasses and sins without grace. You go to Walmart, everybody you see there is dead or alive. You go down to the job site, everybody you see is dead or alive. You go down to the pharmacist and everybody you see is dead or alive. The schoolhouse is full of children that are dead or alive. I don't like to think that, but that's the truth. That's the biblical truth. And grace reminds us of the place where God has found us. And it's a wretched place. And grace also found us not only in a wretched state, but in a wayward state. Look at verse number 2. In time past, we walked according to the course of this world. We walked according to the prince, the power of the air, the spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience. We were wayward from God. We weren't heading to God. We were heading away from God. Do we understand that? We were not heading in the direction of God. God headed in the direction of us. It was Jesus Christ who came to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, I know Brother Tommy's familiar with this, but there's a gospel song, a Southern gospel song, says, I kept on searching till I found the King of Kings. And I want to tell you, that's biblically inaccurate. We did not search until we found Him. He searched and found us. He came to where we were at. That's why He left heaven's glory and came down and took on the robe of flesh, was because He came down to find us. And I wasn't looking for Him. I was living my own life, doing my own thing. I was enjoying the things of this flesh and the things of this world and the things that I thought were bringing me joy and the things I thought would fulfill my life and the things I thought I would be happy with and all of that. And I realized those things just kept taking me further and further and further away from true satisfaction and away from true fulfillment, and got me into a lot of trouble along the way. But then Jesus Christ found me. He found me. And I was in a wayward state. The Bible says in Isaiah 53, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. See, as an unbeliever, we're not searching for God. We're searching for the things of this world, for the things that will satisfy the flesh, things that might pique our own interest, all those things. Apart from grace, we're in a wayward state. And Proverbs would tell us that there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And see, when we celebrate God's grace, it reminds us the place where God found us, in a wretched state, in a wayward state, and thirdly, in a wicked state. Look in verse number 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, the children of wrath, even as others. We don't become sinners when we sin. We were born sinners, and that's why we sin. You understand that? I mean, the Bible teaches us that we were conceived in sin. And see, we're born sinners. We're born broken. And grace reminds me where God found me. It should remind you where God found you, in a wicked state. You had your conversation. That's your lifestyle, as Pastor Rodney already told us. That's the life we're living. That's not just a conversation of words, though it includes our communication, but it's our entire lifestyle. We all had our lifestyles, and our lifestyles were focused on doing what? Getting what we wanted, fulfilling the lust of our flesh, and also fulfilling the lust, the desires of our minds. We wanted what we wanted. That's where God found us. God found us in a wretched state. He found us in a wayward state. And He found us in a wicked state. In a wicked state. Oh, can I just again tell you how wonderful grace is? That grace. I mean, think about this. You and I were wretched, we were wayward, and we were wicked. And yet God offered us grace. God offered us grace. We were running from God, but God chased us down. We were dead, with no hope whatsoever and no ability to change anything. But yet God came and by His grace brought us to life. Oh, this grace reminds us of the place where God found us. And then secondly, grace reveals the power by which God freed us. Grace reveals the power by which God freed us. Oh, what power did God use to free us from our sins? One, it was the power of His love. Verse 4, but God. Wait a minute, preacher. You said I was wicked. Yeah. You said I was wretched. Yeah. You said I was wayward. Yeah. Yeah. I don't like that. Well, hang on. You get to verse 4. But God. But God. Aren't you glad the story don't end at verse 3? I'm glad that Paul didn't stop writing Ephesians at chapter 2 and verse 3. I'm glad that he kept on going to verse number 4 as the Holy Spirit inspired it. But God, who is rich in mercy. Well, why would God offer a wretched person mercy? Why would He offer a wicked person mercy? Why would He offer a wayward person mercy? Because He has great love. He has great love. And that's why God would take a wretch like me and a wretch like you and save us. Because He has a love that is incomparable to any other love. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. Jeremiah would write in chapter 31 that God loves you and I with an everlasting love. And the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8 that nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. And you say, well, preacher, you know what? I hear all the time about love, 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 and God loves me, but you don't understand what I'm going through. My body stays sick and hurting. My finances are not like the people across the street. I don't have people coming by and family visiting me. I don't feel like anybody loves me. Then go back to Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8 for a moment and take another look at the cross, because God commendeth. That means he demonstrated his love toward you in that while you were yet a sinner, while you were wicked, while you were wretched, and while you were wayward, Christ died for you. And if you ever get to the point to where Satan's got you convinced that you are not loved, take a look at the cross. Take a look at the cross and see a suffering Savior. See this one who has this great love wherewith he loved you and I. See the one who inspired but God hanging on that cross and dying for you. Oh, listen, peradventure, for a good man would somebody die. You know, maybe Paul says, maybe for a really, really good person, somebody might even dare to die. But Jesus came and died for the ones fulfilling the lust of the flesh. Jesus came to die for those fulfilling the lusts of the mind. Jesus came to die for those that was trying to run away and get away from him. Those are the ones Jesus came to die for, and they were all of us. Grace reveals the power by which God frees us. It's the power of God's love. And it's the power of God's life. It's the power of God's life. I have a friend of mine. Look in verse number 5. He says, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. While we were dead, all right, when we were dead, God made us alive. But he made us alive together with Christ. Now, I have a friend of mine that pastors a Free Will Baptist Church in North Carolina. And he works as a funeral director. He went to school, got a nursing degree, and decided to nurse for a little while and decided he didn't want to be a nurse. And so he went back to school and got his mortuary degree, and then later got his director's, whatever you got to do to get that, and now he's the director of a funeral home while he's pastoring a Free Will Baptist church. And I told him, I said, when I die, I said, I want you to go ahead and do my funeral. I get one-stop shopping. I can get the preaching, I can get the singing, I can get it all at one spot, all right? I don't have to shop it out, all right? And he said, preacher, he said, I'll be the last one that'll ever let you down. I said, amen, that'd be all right, all right? And you know what I know about my... I mean, this guy can preach. He can preach the cover off of baseball. I mean, man, this guy can flat get it done. But you know, I have seen this boy preach and preach and preach, and he has laid a lot of people down in the ground. But he has never been able to bring one up alive yet. He's never been able to do that. But because of the life of someone else, because of the power of someone else's life, my brother has the power of the Holy Ghost to preach the gospel. He has the power of the Holy Ghost. He can play piano. He can sing. He can do all that. Don't you hate preachers that can do it all? Amen. He can do all that stuff, you know. But he does not have the power to in his life to bring someone up physically from the dead. But there is one that does. And what happens when God gives us His grace, He plugs us in. We've been grafted in. Amen? We get grafted into something that is living. We get grafted into something that has life-giving substance and life-sustaining substance. We get placed in union with Jesus Christ. And because of the life that Jesus has, you and I are granted life. Look at what the Bible says right here in Romans 5 and 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. It takes someone that has the power to live to give us the power of life. And God is self-sustaining. I mean, God doesn't have to go to the grocery store, amen? God doesn't fight the inflation you and I fight. I don't go to the grocery store much because I hate to see what I'm going to walk into, you know? He doesn't have to fight. He doesn't have to worry about how much diesel costs and whether he's going to have enough or not. God is all-sustaining. He sustains himself. And because he has the power to sustain himself through all eternity, when you get plugged into him, you have the power to be sustained throughout all eternity. Because Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. If you believe in me, ye shall never die. And though we do die physically, yet we shall live. Listen, the grace reveals the power that God used to free us. It's the power of His love. It's the power of His life. And it's also, here's one you may not have thought of. It's the power of His longing that freed us. Look in verse number 6. See, God saved us in verse number 5. He loved us in verse 4. That moved Him to save us in verse number 5. So He could bring us to Himself in verse number 6. The Bible says, hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now Jesus did something that most of us are not doing. And I won't say all of us because you might be doing this. But I generally don't go out looking for people that stink to the high heavens. I don't usually go out looking, although I go to the homeless soup kitchen and we feed on Friday nights. And I go to the local elementary school and we do a Good News Fellowship Club every week, and we have over a 50% Hispanic population at that school. I go to the nursing home and we go there and I preach the gospel down there. And some of those folks, they don't smell the best down there. I go door to door. And we do soul winning on a regular basis. I do a lot of that. But I generally don't just go out looking for wretched ways. I don't look for them to live with me, okay? I haven't opened my home yet and said, come in here and just stay forever, okay? But God longed for wicked, wretched, wayward people so much that He sent His Son to sacrifice His life and bleed His blood on the cross so He could get those wretched, wicked, wayward, stinking people and take them home with Him. Come on. And He longed to do it. It wasn't like it was a last option and He said, well, they don't have anywhere else to go, so I just bring them here. It's not what He said. The Bible said God raised them up together for the very purpose that He can put them in close proximity, in union, in direct connection on the throne in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Sometimes my poor dog will run through the house and my wife will go, man, he smells like a dog. Anybody ever known dogs? You know that? You know what that means. They smell like a dog, you know? And he's just as happy as he can be. He sits there, smiles at you, his tongue flapping out. He has no clue how he smells. But she smells, he smells like a dog. That means, son, you got to get him down to the groomer and let them bathe that boy. You know, we don't look to bring stinking things into our homes. And if they come in for a little bit, we want them either cleaned up fast or gone real fast. And God went looking for wicked, wretched, wayward to bring into His house and literally sit on the same seat His Son sits on. Have you noticed that in the Scriptures? Do you realize how much God longs for you? That God would do that. That God would long for you in that way. I go down to the gym and I work out every morning before I go to the office except on Saturday. And I don't go to the office on Saturday unless I just have to. So I go down to the gym. I'm there early in the morning, every morning before I go into work. But on Saturdays, I go down to the gym, and I don't bother. I shower in the gym showers, and then I put my office clothes on, and I head back to the office. But on Saturdays, I just put my gym clothes on, and I take off, and I don't take anything else with me. And I work out, got my earbuds and stuff, and when I come back home, it may be 9, 9:30 in the morning or whatever, I walk in, and my wife's up, and I'll go over to give her a kiss, and I'm sweaty. I don't smell so good. And you know, I mean, I've hit it hard. And my wife will look at me, she'll say, "You go get a shower first." "You go get a shower first." All right? So I got to go get cleaned up first before, you know, though, as much as, and I'm not saying that to pick on my wife, because you understand what I'm saying when I say that. But you know, God didn't say, "You go get a shower first." But God said, "Come on, I've got the shower right here for you. Come on and get as close as you can so you can get under the water spout of my grace, and the Word of God will wash and cleanse you, and the blood of my Son will forgive you of all of your sins, cleanse you from all unrighteousness, and then you will be a fit inhabitant for the kingdom of God." Yeah. Listen, friends, grace has revealed the power that God used to free us. And yes, we probably knew of His powerful love, and we know His powerful life. Oh, but can we be reminded of His powerful longing for us? He longs to spend eternity with you and I and never be separated for a moment. I mean, my wife and I have been married for over 30 years now. But there are times she just wants to get away from me, you know? There are times she's like, don't you got something to do, you know? Is there any men like that in here? You know, your wife just thinks sometimes, don't you think just something you can be doing right now, you know? But you know, God never says that to us. God never says, "Hey, you've gotten on my nerves, and won't you go away for a while so I can take a breather?" God never does that. But God always longs. And when we try to get as close to God as we can, He says, "Just come a little closer. Get in my personal space." You know, because see, He said there in verse number 6, He made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. God wants you in His personal space. And so grace reveals the power by which God frees us. And grace reminds us of the place where God found us. And lastly, grace restores the purpose for which God favored us. You know, when God created humanity, they had a purpose. They had a purpose. And unlike what Solomon writes in Ecclesiastes, as an old man, he said, "You know, I've worked all my life and I've done everything I could do, and I thought I could take this road, and I thought I could do that, and I thought this would make me happy, and I thought that would make me satisfied." And he said, "I just figured out all is vanity." And here's what a man ought to do, because everything he works for is going to be left to some nutball that's going to come behind him anyway. And, you know, I mean, why bother? He says, "You know what a man ought to do? He ought to just eat, drink, and be happy." You know? And a lot of folks live lives like that. "Well, I'm just going to just live my life and I'm just going to do my thing." That's not your purpose. That's not my purpose. Does God want us to enjoy life? Certainly does. God's been awful good to us, hasn't He? He wants us to enjoy life. But you know that grace restores the purpose for which God favored us in the first place? See, sin, Isaiah tells us that sin has separated us from our God. But grace restores the purpose. Why did God give you grace in the first place? Is it just to get out of hell free card? I mean, is that what grace is? Is it just so I don't have to go to hell and I can go to heaven? Is that what grace is? Well, that's just a small part of it. But grace does so much more. And grace restores the purpose for which God favors us. in this text, the purpose is threefold. One, here's the purpose of grace, is to eternally bless you. God wants to eternally bless you. He said that God gave you grace in verse number 7. Will you follow along here? We're just about done. But God didn't want to just bless you right now. God's not just wanting to bless you in this life, in just one moment when you get saved. But the Bible says that God wants to show you the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus in the ages to come. Do you know God not only showed you love once so you'd come to Him and He could save you, but God wants to continue to show you love. He wants to show you love today. He wants to show you love tomorrow. He wants to show you love next week. And if He calls you into eternity, He wants to show you His love throughout all of your days. God wants to eternally bless you. That's what He said. He loves you so much, and His nature is one of such overwhelming kindness that God wants to lavish that on you throughout all eternity. This is what heaven means to me. That's what God would say. God says heaven means I get to lavish my kindness on you throughout all the ages to come. Listen, that's what grace restores. See, sin separated you from God, me from God, so that God will not hear. And if God does not hear, God cannot lavish His kindness, His grace, His favor upon us. We all experience common grace, but not that special grace that God has for His children until they come to a saving relationship with Christ. But all when we do, the breach, the divide has been conquered, and now we are in communion and fellowship and close proximity to God. And He hears us, and we hear Him. God wants to lavish His kindness and His favor throughout all eternity. Can you hear God today? Are you close enough to God today to hear Him? Are you? I'm not talking about some ethereal time. Listen, the Bible said, my sheep know my voice. They hear me. And another one they will not follow. Are you close enough to God right now in your relationship with Him that you hear Him? I remember preaching, Brother Rod didn't know this place, so I'm not going to say where he's at, but I remember preaching a revival in Durham, North Carolina, back 07 or 08, something like that. And they'd asked me to do five services there, and I went through and I preached the first service, and at times, you know, I get amplified, all right? Is that a good word to use? Times I get amplified. I've not even got amplified this morning, but at times I get amplified. And I was preaching to that crowd on Sunday morning, and I was preaching that crowd on Sunday night. And finally, on Monday, this fella came in. He was an older fella, and he said about halfway back, he's a pretty good large sanctuary, he said about halfway back, and he sat kind of in the middle. And he walks up to me, and he says, Brother Sonny, he said, can I ask you a favor? I said, sure, brother. I said, if I can help you in any way, I'll be glad to. What do you need? He said, can you not be so loud tonight? You know what he was saying? He's saying, I don't have a problem hearing you, buddy. We're real close to each other. You know, I don't have a problem hearing you. You know, God wants us to be at a place in proximity to Him that we don't have a problem with the communication lines. He does not want us to have a problem hearing Him. But so many today, even though God has bridged that divide to where we can be in close proximity and communication with God, even as Christians, they're not living close to God. They're not in church. And if they are, well, it might be for a special day like this, but on a regular basis and on a faithful walk, no. Their prayer life is like it's an inner tube. You know, when somebody's thrown overboard. It's an emergency. And so I go to God in prayer because it's an emergency. But any other time, I don't really communicate. I don't talk to God. In His Word, I don't spend much time in the Bible. I pick it up and I'll dust it off a little bit in time to go to church if I have to, or if I know the preacher's coming over to the house and I don't want him to see it ain't been moved in a while, and so I'll take care of that, you know. But and they live so far. But yet, man, they will fill up a stadium on a Saturday. Can I get an amen? They'll shout that house down. Amen. Can I get an amen? They'll paint their faces and they'll put on their favorite colors. They'll chase somebody in a travel league or do whatever every week and all kinds of things. Man, they'll make sure they're at the flea markets. They'll make sure that, I mean, all these, man, but close to God. See, grace, and I'm not saying don't enjoy a flea. I enjoy a good flea market every now and then. I love Tennessee football. I'm a nut when it comes to that. I mean, I enjoy life. And I'm not saying don't enjoy life. But can I tell you that all of those things is gravy, because God saved you for a different purpose. God saved you for a different purpose, and grace restores that favor. God wants to eternally bless you. I believe when we get to heaven, Tennessee will win a national title, don't you? Might be the only time, but they'll win when we get there, right? So grace is meant to eternally bless us. And grace also, the purpose of grace is not just to eternally bless, but also to eliminate our boasting. When you recognize you were saved by grace, it's not of works. It is a gift of God, nothing that you can do. Listen, it kills the bragging, doesn't it? It eliminates the boasting. Well, look at me, God, and what you got. No, listen, look at me, God, and what you got. Wretched, wicked, wayward. That's what God got. Yeah, I remember going to Peace Church, and the first Sunday I preached, and they introduced me as a new pastor. I said, I just want you all to know, y'all didn't get anything of value. You know, you didn't get anything. All right? I mean, I'm just a sinner that God has redeemed. Amen? And I praise the Lord He has, and I recognize what God got when He got me. But listen, friend, I am so thankful for God's grace. Apart from Jesus Christ, my life is hopeless. I have no way of changing anything at all. But Jesus came to where I was, and He saved my soul. And I boast not in me. I boast not in my ability. I boast not in my life. I boast in one and one only, whose name is Jesus, and I boast in nothing save the cross of Calvary. And that's all that I can boast in today. That's all I can boast in. And grace restores to you and I a purpose, and that's to honor and glorify Him. Not by works, Paul would write to Titus, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. So grace restores the purpose that God favored us in the first place, and that's so He could eternally bless us. That's so He could eliminate our boasting. And the last thing, and I'm done, is so that we might exhibit His beauty. God saved us so we would exhibit His beauty. Verse number 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You are His workmanship. Brother Rodney could tell you this, I know, but in the Greek, that word workmanship that's in your King James Bible, it literally means the product of an artist. In other words, a work of art. You are a work of art. That's what God says. God says you are a work of art. What do you do with things that are priceless, that have value? And by the way, I didn't have any value until Jesus came, and now I'm priceless. Amen. You didn't have value till Jesus came, but now you're priceless. Oh, listen, you are a work of art. What do you do with a work of art? You show that thing off. Look at this. All right? Look at this. They put them in museums. They put them in art galleries. They put them in all kinds of places. And they say, look at this. This is so valuable, you need to pay money to come look at this. All right? And listen, that's what God is saying. God is saying, I want people to see you. You are my work of art. Because when they see you and see that you were wretched, you were wicked, you were wayward, but now you are a priceless work of art, they will see me. And so God says, my grace restores unto you the ability to show me off. That's what God says. Can I tell you, I think we ought to be a church at Hardin Valley that shows off Jesus. Amen? Shows off Jesus. What does grace do? Yeah, I get you out of hell and let you go to heaven. Oh, there's so much more. There's so much more. And I am so thankful that God chooses to find those undeserving, those that are going the opposite direction, those that have even spurned Him and said they didn't want Him, and He pursues them and pursues them. Eventually overtakes them to offer His grace to wicked, wretched, wayward individuals. And that's what I was before grace came. And for those of you that are saved here today or watching online, the same is true for you. You were wicked, wretched, and wayward, but grace came. But God. You may be here today and you don't know the Savior. God brought you here today for that purpose. To remind you one more time that I have grace to save you. That I have grace to free you. I have grace that will grant you eternal life. Would you just bow your heads for a moment? Brother Tommy, can I ask you to come up here for just a second with me? I love that song. That young preacher that I was preaching about that also directs the funeral home, one of the songs he sings is the song about God has been so good. I've had more ups than I've had downs, brother. God has been so good. While heads are bowed and no one is looking, as Brother Tommy takes a moment to do what he needs to do to set up for a second, I caught him off guard, I know, but